Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. And as usual lately, history is in the making in Afghanistan. Yesterday marked the end of U.S. military involvement in Afghanistan. The last plane left with the last military personnel. The airport is now in control of the Afghans, which is the Taliban right now. Taliban. An international alert went out to pilots all around the world. You know, there are these alerts. They're transnational. That means, you know, it's not just limited to the United States. Anybody who flies an airplane can get these alerts. It says, you land in Kabul at your own risk. There are no air traffic controllers. It's in the hands of the Taliban, and it is not safe. And are there going to be a couple of knuckleheads who try to fly in? Maybe. You've heard of Darwin. Maybe some of them will. Maybe some of them won't come out. This is the end of our military involvement after 20 years, and I think it's a good thing. There is no place on earth that we should be occupying against the will of part of the populace. You know, we have troops stationed in Germany for very good reason. The Ruskies get the point real quick. We're going to protect Central Europe and Eastern Europe, and the Germans welcome that. They welcome it. They welcome it, and when Trump started to withdraw troops from Germany, it was the Germans that objected and other Europeans. We have troops in South Korea and they welcome it. They welcome it because we are a bulwark against China. Where our troops are located with our allies is a welcome thing. But in Afghanistan, this is a jihadist country and a jihadist culture. And you had the Taliban, you have ISIS and the rest of them. And our inclination to occupy a country at risk to our personnel should be very limited. We were there 20 years. John McCain, whom I think thought a lot of, a great patriot, but John McCain said we might have to be there 100 years. Well, no, we're not going to be in a hostile country for 100 years. It's not in our interest. And we should never be involved in a land war in Asia. We learned that in Vietnam. Simply because there are more people over there than we have. And you cannot have a land war in Asia. We have to do it a lot smarter. We went in to get Osama bin Laden, and also because it's a terrorist breeding ground. And it now is a terrorist breeding ground again. The Taliban have control of the country. They say, well, we are sort of a more moderate type than ISIS. They're both Sunni Muslims, they're both terrorists, and they're both out to kill Westerners. ISIS-K, the Pakistani version of ISIS, is operating in Afghanistan. So is Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda, there will be more terrorism, they will be plotting more attacks, but the way to get them is not to put American troops in there. The way to get them is through technology, through drones, air power bombing, that sort of thing. When they get together, there's a lot of there are a lot of fallout from this, and I just want to go through it right now. There are anywhere from 50 to 150, let's say 100 people who are Americans who are still there, and there are thousands of Afghans who cooperate with the United States who are still there. There was no way to get them all out, and there never would be. With regard to the Americans, most of them are Afghans who ended up getting American citizenship or green cards, and they're there visiting family. And when there were warnings in March, in April, in May, in June, to go to the airport and get out of there, and the U.S. would buy a ticket for them, they ignored it. They wanted to stay on for that one extra day, that one extra week, that one extra month. We will continue to work to get them out, and we do have leverage. With regard to the Afghan people who are there, who are not American citizens, but cooperated with us, who are interpreters. Now, remember something. There are 35 million people in Afghanistan. Everybody wants to get out. They want to get away from their own culture, but they want to bring their own culture into the West, which is destructive in and of itself. But there are people who cooperated with us, and I'm talking about interpreters and some soldiers, and they deserve to be gotten out. What is the leverage we have? The leverage we have is financial and military. Financial leverage, we hold anywhere from $9 to $11 billion of Afghanistan's reserves in the Federal Reserve Bank in New York. And Biden froze it. It ain't going to the Taliban. The International Monetary Fund has Afghanistan on its list for some economic assistance, and that's frozen right now, too. If we send in food, the Taliban seized $500 million of aid, diverted it from the population. The only thing that the Taliban prize more than religious extremism and murdering Christians, Yazidis, minority religions, minority races, is stealing. Those are their two characteristics. So we want to make sure food gets to the Afghans, everything we can. We don't want to see devastation, but they have a government in power that steals and will divert the food. And we should not risk American troops as we did in Somalia. Remember that Mogadishu, that debacle in the early 90s, we're simply trying to fly food in, and warlords wanted to steal it and wanted to keep us out. And we ended up having firefights. The people are innocent. Their leaders are not. So there's got to be a way to get it in there by parachuting or whatever. And I'm sure this is being worked out. So if we are going to let Afghanistan not be stigmatized in the international community, eventually get IMF, International Monetary Fund assistance, and other assistance, they've got to come to the table themselves. And that will be releasing any Americans, American citizens, or people with green cards. The estimates are between 50 and 150 are still there. I'll assume it's 150 for the sake of argument. And any Afghans who want to get out that we're willing to take. The problem with that is the minute we identify them, they may well be murdered, especially the Afghans. So these are some of the problems that Biden is facing and will be facing, but it's impossible for an occupying force after 20 years to withdraw and have clean margins and have every single individual who is an American citizen or helped us over there out, and the rest and the bad nicks not out. This is actually a fairly small number in my view. And you can't say, well, you were notified in April, May and June, actually March, time to go. You wanted to hang on a little more. We'll do our best. We will do our best. There are a lot of misconceptions flying around about what happened with our weapons. The United States disabled all planes and vehicles. They can't be used by the Taliban. The U.S. got out all of its weapons. Donald Trump has falsely charged that something like $83 billion in weapons were abandoned by the United States. That's false. His $83 billion figure is the figure for all training and housing of the Afghan army since 2001. You don't leave, leaving training and housing is not a military asset for them to use. And with regard to weapons, the Afghan army abandoned some of its weapons, not the United States Army. But there are no vehicles and no planes that can be used. And with regard to weapons, there are weapons. There are plenty of them there already, but they don't have the air power. They don't have the droning power we do. And that is the circumstance that happened. Now, there is one kind of, quote, weapon, end quote, that's still in their hands, and that's the biometric data that we took. Believe it or not, you know, this will be the wave of the future in airports. They stick a thing over your eyes and read your irises, obviously your fingerprints and everything else, and they have a biometric picture of you. They want, nobody can fake it. Well, we did that with a lot of Afghans to run them through the terrorist list. And a lot of that is there, and some of that biometric data will show who cooperated with us. A lot of them have been gotten out, not all of them. That is a problem. That is a problem, but a lot of that data was in the hands of the Afghan government, and the Afghan government are the ones who left it, abandoned it. You know, the president of Afghanistan, you know how he left the country? Remember, he went out on a helicopter, and there are conflicting reports about how much cash he had in it. He went out over the lunch hour, didn't tell anybody. Lunch hour came around, his secretary and others, well, we're going to go get a little lunch. Go to the cafe up the street. I'm honest to Pete. This guy leaves as if he's going to lunch, goes to a landing strip, and takes a helicopter to Tajikistan. They come back, yawning, stretching, going back to their typewriters or computers. Where's the boss? Well, I don't know. That's how sad this thing is. Going to a break. Lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
The rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.